remember. Now please take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. Remember, God's word is holy, infallible, inherent, and authoritative. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the man had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, affliction, and evil spirits, and to many blind, he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Please be seated. Let us pray. O gracious Father, we are thankful for your word, your holy word. And the psalmist said in this way, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Father, cause us to meditate upon your word, for your word is truth. And we need your truth to live in this sinful world. Father, remove all distractions and help us to focus upon you. And Lord, speak to us through your word and impress the truth deep into our hearts and transform us by your word and spirit. In Christ name we pray. Amen. Amen. Doubts. We are all susceptible to doubts. What about doubts in the things of God? What about doubts concerning Christ and the Bible? You have doubts concerning all these things?
Yes.
You doubt the truth in the Bible? However, we must make all efforts to clear the doubts that we have. And here is the danger. When doubts are prolonged, it may lead to unbelief. So we need to be very careful. When doubts are prolonged, it may lead to unbelief. In our text, there was a man who had doubts concerning Jesus Christ. But our Lord Jesus Christ cleared his doubts. So today we will learn about this man. This man was not the disciple of Jesus, commonly known as the doubting Thomas. This man was John the Baptist. John the Baptist had doubts about Jesus. But after some time of silence, we again hear John the Baptist in this chapter. The first time we heard about John was his birth to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and circumcision of John in the first chapter of Luke chapter 1. And then in Luke chapter 3, we read about John's ministry in the wilderness, preaching faith and repentance, and baptizing people at the Jordan River. And then we read about John here in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 tells us something about John. John the Baptist had some doubts about Jesus. And you may wonder, what? The great John the Baptist had doubts about Jesus? Yes. Even the great John the Baptist had doubts about Jesus. In a short while, we will examine the reason for his doubts concerning Jesus. Remember, John was born around the time of Jesus. And Jesus began his ministry after John had baptized him at the Jordan River. Jesus preached repentance and faith and performed miracles. And also remember, Jesus healed the centurion's servant in Capernaum and raised the widow's son to life in the city of Nain. In this text, we will be looking at three things. Number one, report. Number two, doubt. Number three, assurance. Report, doubt, assurance. So let us examine by looking at the heading report, verse 18. As we read Luke chapter 7, commentators say that at this time John was in prison. He was in prison because he criticized the marriage of Herod Antipas and Herodias. Herodias was the wife of Herod's brother Philip. John the Baptist criticized that Herod's marriage was unlawful. And Herod's wife hated John and plotted to kill John. Later sadly, John would be beheaded. But for now, John was in prison for speaking against the sin of Herod and Herodias. Now it seems that John the Baptist was probably receiving reports about Jesus and his ministry from time to time from his disciples. John would have received even the reports on the latest miracles performed by Jesus in Capernaum and in Nain. Look at verse 18. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. So John received all the reports from his disciples concerning the ministry of Jesus. In other words, John was keeping track of the ministry of Jesus. At this time, John was in prison, and he would have known that his time was coming to an end soon on earth. And from the report, John was not quite convinced that Jesus was the promised Messiah. John was not convinced that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And he began to develop some doubts about Jesus. So now, why and what were they? So we come to the second heading, doubts, verses 19 through 20. So John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus. And he wanted them to ask Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" 19, we can at least make two observations. Okay, two observations. Number one, notice that John did not send one disciple, but rather two disciples to Jesus. Why? The scripture teaches us that it is always good to send a minimum of two witnesses. It is always good to have a minimum of two witnesses concerning anything. And that is a good principle to call. A testimony from more than two witnesses carries more weight, even in the court system also. Having more than one witness, or minimum two witnesses, that is more convincing. It gives no room for doubt. And so, John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus. The second observation is this. He wanted them to ask Jesus, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? So the question is this, why did John send his disciples to ask this question? And here we need to understand the background. Probably John knew that he was the prophet prophesying the scriptures to make the way straight for the coming Messiah. Probably John knew that he was the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. And from John's past preaching and teaching, we can deduce two things about Jesus. He perceived Jesus as a savior. He perceived Jesus, secondly, as the judge. So in his mind, he perceived Jesus to be savior and a judge. Jesus the Savior. Why? Look at how John identified Jesus as in John chapter 1 verse 29. Look at it. Before that, let me read the verse to you. John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist identified Jesus as the sacrificial lamb, prophesied in Isaiah 53, to be slain in order to pay the penalty for our sins. See, in the Old Testament, lambs were sacrificed for the sins of the people. The sacrifice of lambs pointed to Christ. Hence, John identified Jesus as the sacrificial lamb of God. John identified Jesus as the Savior of the world. So he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, pointing to Jesus. Moreover, Jesus has the power to convert sinners. He was baptized in the by the Holy Spirit. Who said that? John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3 verse 16. John said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, referring to Jesus, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to lose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In short, Jesus would have the power to convert people. Jesus would have the power to save people. That was the perception of John the Baptist. The second perception. Jesus as the judge. That's what he thought. Jesus is not only the Savior, but at the same time, Jesus would be a judge. How do we know? Luke chapter 3 verse 17. John the Baptist says about Jesus, his winnowing fan is a he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, in this verse, John was talking about the coming judgment. John was telling about Jesus being the Savior, but at the same time, he was telling the people that this Jesus will bring judgment. So John preached that Jesus is not only a Savior, but a judge. And John probably had been hearing Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Plain and performing miracles, but not carrying out judgment of the people. He was hearing about Jesus doing ministry, much ministry, but not judgment. So John was wondering, what if Jesus was the promised Messiah, according to the scriptures? Thus John had some doubts concerning Jesus. So we come to the third heading: assurance, verses 21 through 23. Assurance. And so the imprisoned John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus to do the inquiry. Look at verse 20. When the man had come to him, when the man, meaning the disciples of John, when the disciples of John had come to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Now, hearing these words, Jesus did not seem to be angry with John, with John's disciples, or with John for having doubts. Many people have doubts, don't they? People doubt about the authority of the scripture. People doubt about the existence of God. People doubt so many things. Having doubt is not sinful. However, if the doubts are not watched carefully, it can lead to unbelief. And that's the problem. You know, many Israelites did not reach the promised land. Why? What was the reason? Many Israelites did not reach the promised land. The reason was unbelief. The Israelites doubted God and His promises in the wilderness. They began to complain about God in the wilderness. And so, many of the Israelites did not reach Canaan, the promised land, because of unbelief. The unbelief is a cancer. It can spread rapidly and destroy a person. So do not let unbelief destroy your life. But then John the Baptist had doubts. Jesus was not angry with John, but he was patient and gentle with John. Even when John's disciples were conducting the inquiry, Jesus was carrying out His mercy ministry. Look at verse 21. And that very hour, means when John's disciples were with Jesus, Jesus cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind He gave sight. In other words, at the present, at the presence of John's disciples, Jesus was healing many people with weakness, affliction, sickness, evil spirits, blindness. And so Jesus answered the disciples of John in this verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, meaning John's disciples, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus had the power to perform miracles, and he wanted John's disciples to know that. And what did Christ's mercy ministry prove? It proved that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Even in that moment when the disciples of John came, what was Jesus doing? He was healing people. He was carrying out mercy ministry. The question is this: what was the implication of Jesus? What was Jesus doing by performing mercy ministry? He was showing the disciples of John that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, especially Isaiah chapter 35. If you go to Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, we heard the reading just now. Listen very carefully what is written in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. This is the prophecy concerning Jesus, that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. All the things which were prophesied in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, were fulfilled by Jesus. Moreover, listen to the words of the Apostle John, which we heard already just now, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Let me ask you, why did Jesus perform miracles during his ministry? And the answer is here. If you look at the Gospel of John, it is full of signs, miracles. Why did Jesus perform miracles? John chapter 20, verse 31 gives us the answer. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God." That is the purpose of doing miracles. And so Jesus exhorted the two disciples of John to go and tell John the things they have seen and heard. The mercy ministry of Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. But also Jesus came preaching the good news to the poor. He was preaching the gospel to all those who had hunger and thirst for righteousness. He was preaching faith and repentance. He was preaching good news. So look at verse 22b, the last part. "The poor have the gospel preached to them." So Jesus already said in the synagogue earlier that he was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, cited in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Remember the first time when he appeared in the synagogue? What did he do? He was given the scroll, the scriptures, and he went specifically to Isaiah chapter 61, and he read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, and Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Listen to his words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said that, because he has anointed me. For what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In other words, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. And that was being fulfilled. And Jesus wanted to go to the disciples of John to bring the message to John. Look at verse 23. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Surely the gospel might have offended many people in the first century. And even today, the gospel offends many people. You know, people ask, why do I need the gospel? And they say, I'm not a sinner. I do not sin. I'm a good person. And I am going to heaven. So we hear this from people. Thus, gospel offended the hearers because Jesus was the stumbling block to them. Why do I say this? People hate to hear about sin. People hate hearing that Jesus is the only way to come. The lost people, the unbelievers, believe that there are many ways to salvation, not just Jesus alone. So in other words, Jesus appeared to them as a stumbling block. You know, we all know this verse. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then I want you to know, I want you to look at the next verse, verse 17. Often we miss that verse. Verse 17. John chapter 3, verse 17. I always wondered why Jesus said this word in verse 17. Listen to verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why did Jesus say that? For God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, what he was saying is this: God did not send Jesus into this world to carry out judgment. That was not his purpose in his first coming. So what was the purpose of his first coming? To save people from their sins. Jesus did not come to condemn or judge us in his first coming, but to save us. In other words, he came to show grace to us. He came to show grace to us and not judgment. Who is this Jesus? He is gentle.
knowing past.
That's how he declared himself. Jesus is compassionate and patient. And my dear friend, Jesus is giving ample time to you and me for repentance before he exercises his judgment in the second coming. Now he wants you to enjoy your grace and repent of your sins and turn to him. Because in his second coming, there will be no more grace and salvation. That's what John chapter 3 verse 17 says. Grace and salvation is for now. The second coming, it will be judgment. So let us keep Christ's words seriously. And it seems that John the Baptist was not aware that judgment would be saved in the second coming of Christ. He thought it would be in the first coming of Jesus. Until the second coming of Christ, all people can enjoy the dispensation of grace. And so Jesus sent a concluding and a clear message to John. Look at verse 21 and 23 again. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. In other words, Jesus gave John the assurance that he is the promised Messiah. He exhorted John to believe in him. He assured that the one who is not stumbled by Jesus is the one who has received favor. This message of Jesus should clear the doubts of John the Baptist and give him assurance that indeed Jesus is the promised Messiah. Well, in this text, we examine three headings. Number one, reports. Number two, doubts. Number three, assurance. I have two things to say before we leave this text. Number one, do not doubt the Bible. Do not doubt the Bible. I would like to exhort you not to doubt the Bible. Know that the Bible is God's word. It is not man's word, it is God's word. The Bible is infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. So be assured that there is no error in the Bible. So make a resolution to read the whole Bible. Discipline yourself to read the Bible daily and pray. Meditate on the truth in the Bible. Seek the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the truth in the Bible and apply the truth in your life. God will shape your mind and life according to the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, how can you be shaped according to the Bible, whether in mind or in your attitudes, behavior, or life? The Bible will enable you to overcome doubt concerning your salvation in the Christian life. Second, do not doubt Jesus. You know, sometimes when you experience trial, affliction, sickness, and failures, you may tend to doubt Jesus. Is Jesus really true? Why is he not helping me? Why is he not delivering me from my troubles? Do not doubt Jesus. Do not let your doubts turn into unbelief. For Many people have strayed away from their faith because of their doubt in the Bible as well as in Christ. Remember, Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's what he told John Baptist. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the resurrection and the life. So, stay on Jesus. Abide in him. Jesus has assured us that his presence is always with us. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So never doubt Jesus, even in times of trial and afflictions. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you for this text that clearly shows that even believers can have doubts. Even the great John the Baptist had doubts. But then thanks for the warning, Lord, that we should not allow doubts to turn into unbelief. So help us. Help us to stay in the Word of God and to abide in Christ. Remove all our doubts, Lord, and help us to trust Christ in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.